There was a lawsuit that was filed against the producers of the hit TV show Extreme Makeover. And that lawsuit began with the line, "Delise Williams is considered ugly." And the remaining 31 pages of the complaint tell the story of a Texas wife and mother who was promised a series of cosmetic surgeries that would, quote, transform her life and destiny. That dream was shattered, however, when one of the dental surgeons reported that Williams' recovery time would be longer than expected. So she was pulled from the show the night before her surgeries were scheduled to begin, and she was sent back to Texas the next day. Now, according to the lawsuit, Williams sobbed uncontrollably when she was given the news. She said, "How can I go back as ugly as I left?" She said, "I was supposed to come home pretty." Wesley Cordova, an attorney for Williams, claims that her suffering continues to this day. He says, "Delise is so hurt and humiliated, she won't leave the house now. She grocery shops at midnight." The lawsuit also claims that Williams' family had been severely impacted. The producers coached them to focus on nothing except Delise's physical flaws and even pushed them to verbally express their opinions on taped interviews, which Delise saw later. The lawsuit claims now that she has returned in the same condition in which she left, there were no secrets, no hidden feelings, no rewards. And finally, Cordova alleges that the emotional stress of the entire situation had a tragic impact on Delise's sister, Kelly. Kelly couldn't live with the fact that she had said horrible things that hurt her sister, she said, Cordova. So she fell to pieces, and 4 months later, she ended her life with an overdose of pills, alcohol, and cocaine. The lawsuit concludes, "The family is shredded. There is human cost to this." Jesus said it openly and honestly. In this world, you will have troubles. And often those troubles come in the form of hurt. Because we live in an imperfect world, you're going to be hurt. You'll be hurt by accidents, by illnesses. But quite frankly, the deepest hurts that will come into your life will come from other people. What do you do when you're hurt? That's what we're going to deal with today. A Gallup poll found that 48% would try to forgive, while 8% would try to get even. Other responses, 48% said that they would try to discuss the problem, 45% said that they would overlook the offense, 27% said that they would pray for comfort and guidance, and 25% said that they would even pray for the offender. But 14% said they would hold their resentment inside. 9% said they would try to do something nice for the one that hurt them. Relationships are our greatest source of stress in our lives. They're also the greatest blessing and the greatest joy. But people do hurt us, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, sometimes accidentally, sometimes on purpose. The problem is our response to those hurts is usually the wrong thing. Before we can look at God's antidote to the hurts, I need to lift up four cautions from the Word of God. The first is this: when you're hurt, do not ignore it. Many of us respond to hurt by pretending it doesn't exist, hope that it'll go away. We flat out deny it. I'm not hurt. I don't have a problem. We try to minimize it to make it no big deal. We procrastinate. We try and sweep it under the rug. We ignore the hurt that we deeply feel. And the problem is, ignoring that hurt never heals it. The hurt that you're trying to ignore right now won't get any better. People say, time heals all wounds. Well, sometimes time makes them worse if we keep putting it off. David experienced that when he said in Psalm 39, "But when I was silent and still, not even saying anything good, my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated, the fire burned, and then I spoke with my tongue." You see, procrastination turns minor problems into major ones. It gets worse. It festers. The wounds get infected and spread when we don't deal with them effectively. The second thing that the Word of God says, when you're hurt, don't run from it. That's the chicken option. Retreat. Run from your problems. Don't face anything. David tried this too. Psalm 55, how I wish I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and rest. How quickly I would escape, far away from this wild storm of hatred. And that's, quite frankly, human nature. When we face difficulty, we run from it. It's not by accident that all the doors in public buildings open outward. Because when people panic, they run. When we try to get away from our pain, we run. And there are different ways that we run, different ways that we try to escape. Movies, television, alcohol, drugs, divorce, Disneyland. The problem is that you are still going to have the same problem when you return. You can get high, but when you come down from the high, get over the hangover, nothing is solved, nothing is changed. Don't run from it. Don't ignore it. Thirdly, the Bible says when you're hurt, don't hide it. Some people don't run from it or ignore the hurt. They just merely hide. They keep it to themselves. They don't tell anybody. They wear a mask. Some of you are quite good at camouflaging your pain. You wear nice clothes. You have a pleasant smile. But the fact is you've been hurt by somebody very deeply. Sometimes we play a game, is something wrong? And we always answer, how do we answer? No, nothing's wrong. We hate to admit it when we're hurt. We'll admit it when we're angry, but when we are reluctant to admit it when we're hurt. We don't like to admit that somebody hurt our feelings, so we disguise it. The Bible says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. You know, here at Beyond Grace, we are committed to building an atmosphere of openness and honesty and authenticity. We want to create a safe place where real people can share real problems without being judged. And by being accepted and loved, you can find safety here and be able to share. There is a healing when you're able to share, when you're able to get it out. When you find out somebody else has the same problem you do, it makes you feel better. But we can't share unless we stop hiding. Everybody has a hurt, every one of us. It's different for each of us, but everybody has a hurt. You're not alone. You're not even the only one with the hurt you've got. You may think you are. You may think you're only one in the world with the hurt that you have, but there are others that have that same hurt you do. If you could somehow get up the courage to share that hurt, you'd find relief and you'd start on the pathway to healing. You don't heal yourself by ignoring it, running from it, or hiding it. And lastly, when you're hurt, the Bible says don't resent it. Have you never tasted the luxury of indulging in hard thoughts against those who have, as you think, injured you? Have you ever known what a positive fascination it is for us to brood over their unkindness and to pry into their malice, to imagine all sorts of wrong and uncomfortable things about them? It's made you wretched, of course, but it's been a fascinating sort of wretchedness that you could not easily give up. Resentment never helps. And yet we do this when people hurt us. We become angry, bitter, cynical. We all get closed in and self-pitying. Job did that. You who tear yourselves to pieces in your anger, is the earth to be abandoned for your sake? Or must the rocks be moved from their place? Bitterness hurts you far more than any hurt you will ever receive. No matter how someone has treated you, no matter what anybody has ever said to you, it could even be as severe as rape or rejection or molestation or being maligned. But there is something worse than that, and that is bitterness. Bitterness is a poison that will kill you. It eats you up inside. God says, don't resent it. During World War II, the U.S. submarine Tang, he surfaced under the cover of darkness to fire on a large Japanese convoy off the coast of China. And since previous raids had left the American vessel with only 8 torpedoes, the accuracy of each shot was absolutely essential. And the first 7 silent missiles were right on target. But when the 8th was launched, it suddenly deviated. Instead of hitting its intended target, it boomeranged back in unseen to strike the crew that launched it. Too late, the emergency alarm to submerge rang out, and with a matter of seconds, the U.S. sub received a direct hit and sank almost immediately. In the same way, we're also capable, while intent on attacking others, of doing irreparable damage to ourselves. The missiles that we shoot of bitterness and hate those can be launched and then return to hurt us. If none of these approaches will heal my hurt, according to the Word of God, well, then what do I do? What is the antidote to my hurt? Well, in Psalm 23, the scene changes from a field to a feast. David uses the image of a banquet, and he gives us three illustrations or symbols that illustrate three steps that you need to take in order to let God heal your hurt. Psalm 23 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Friends, these are symbols that represent how to get healed from hurt. The first is this: let Jesus settle the score. Don't even try to get even. Don't seek revenge. Don't retaliate against those who hurt you. Trust God to even the odds. Give it to God. Let God settle the score, and He will. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You see, sheep have many natural enemies. They have wolves, coyotes, bears, snakes, ticks. Sheep are defenseless animals. They can't defend themselves from anything. They don't have teeth that are sharp enough that they can bite with. They don't have claws. They can't kick. They can't run fast. They are absolutely the most defenseless animal there is. They don't know how to do anything. They can't be safe unless somebody protects them. The job of a good shepherd is to go find a good tableland, a mesa, a field of green grass, and drive out all the enemies. And then he brings the sheep and he gives them a safe place to eat. He scouts out the pasture and he drives out the enemies. God says, "Let me handle those who've hurt you." The Bible says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God." God knows the people who have hurt you. He saw it and he cares. He can settle the score. The Bible says one day he will settle the score. There is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a judgment day. He has far more resources to settle the score than you do. He says you cannot recover from your hurt as long as you're seeking revenge. You've got to decide, are you going to get revenge or are you going to get well? You can't do both. Forgiveness means giving my hurt to God and letting him settle the score. Trust God to handle the situation. Don't try and get even. The longer you try and get revenge, the longer you will hurt. So the first step is to let Jesus settle the score. The second is let Jesus soothe my wounds. Shepherds put oil on the heads of sheep for two reasons. One is to soothe, the other is to heal. When a sheep has an open wound, the shepherd would use it as an ointment. It would protect them, and it was soothing. And when David says, "You anoint my head with oil," he's saying, God is going to soothe my wounds. It's the same thing Jesus wants to do with the hurts in your life. Psalm 47, he says, he heals. God heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. He says, not only will I settle the score, but if you'll come to me and let me have your hurts, I'll settle the score and then do a little repair work, a little work on restoring your spirit. I can soothe those hurts. I can bandage them up. Once you've forgiven a person who hurt you, does that mean the pain has gone away? No, absolutely not. Even after you've forgiven them, there still is the hurt. Forgiveness is instant, but restoration takes time. Forgiveness is instant, but restoration may take years or months or weeks, depending on the hurt. God heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. The paper cut, does that heal pretty quickly? Yeah. What about the more severe gashing wound? It takes longer. You know, oftentimes what we want is instant healing. You know, we want instant healing from the hurts that have happened in our lives. And the fact of the matter is, sometimes the oil needs to be put on and it needs to be soothed. And it takes a while for that healing to take place. How does Jesus heal our hurts? What kind of bandages does Jesus use to heal our wounds from the hands, the mouths of others? The Bible says that he uses a few things. One, he uses fellowship.
You know, that he wants us to be together and to share together, our wounds or hurts, and so that others can encourage us, others can pray for us, others can love us. Fellowship is essential. That's what the church is all about, is to be engaged with one another, not to, come on with a fake smile and a mask and, to rub shoulders for a few minutes and then to leave. The real church is a church that ministers to one another, that shares the pain, that shares the wounds, that shares the flaws, that shares the mistakes, that shares the joys, and allows others to encourage and pray for me. He uses fellowship as a way of healing the wound. And God uses prayer, answered prayer to meet the needs of our wounds. And how about worship? You know, the Bible says that worship is a healing act for us, that when we are engaged in worship, when we are engaged in praise, then it brings perspective to life, and it brings a healing to our soul. As we stand before God and we just open our arms and say, Lord, we love you, and I have a need for you. I need the shepherd. I need you. As a healing action of God that he uses to soothe our wounds. Let God settle the score. Let Jesus settle the score. Let the good shepherd settle the score. Let Jesus soothe my wounds. Let the shepherd soothe my wounds. And then lastly, let Jesus satisfy my needs. Let the shepherd satisfy your needs. When you need to get over a hurt, you need to look at God. Look to God for meeting all your needs. It says, my cup overflows. In the Bible, an overflowing cup is a symbol for total satisfaction. It means I've got everything that I need. So it's almost like he's being redundant. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything that I need. And then he says, here, my cup overflows. I've got everything I need. In the Middle East, mostly in the desert, when someone gives you a cup that is overflowing, it means that you're wasting something. And when you're wasting something, that means that you have an abundance and you don't care. You just don't care. You don't waste water or wine in the desert unless you've got plenty. And so that's what this is saying. When you need to get over hurt, you need to look to God to meet all of your needs because his cup is overflowing. Now, why is that so important? The major reason that we get hurt oftentimes is because we expect other people to meet needs God can only meet. This is true, that we walk through life expecting others to provide for us what only God can provide for us. We want others to make us completely happy, do we not? I'm sorry, I cannot make you happy. I can provide an environment that might be conducive for that to take place in your life, and I can certainly be a roadblock to it, but I can't make you happy. The fact of the matter is, the only one that can bring total fulfillment in life is God. If you expect that from somebody, you're going to be bitterly disappointed. You're going to be hurt. If you want me to provide total security for you, I can't do that. I can provide an environment where that might make it, it might be possible. I can certainly be a barrier to that. But the fact of the matter is, the only one that can provide unbridled security is God. The only one that can love you unconditionally is God. I mean, I can give it a shot, but that's all it would be, is a shot. God's the only one that can love you unconditionally. He's the one that can meet those needs. God can meet all of our needs. He never runs dry, never has a bad mood, never lets you down. If you look to him, your cup will overflow. Overflow with what? Well, the Bible says this, that your cup will overflow with hope. And oh, don't we need that? We can't live a minute without hope. The Bible says in Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants your cup to be overflowing with hope, that there's a reason to get up in the morning, and God has a plan for your future, and it's a plan to bring fulfillment into your life, not to harm you. So your cup will overflow with hope, the Bible says. Not only hope, but love. that your cup will overflow with love. 1 Thessalonians says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And then lastly, with joy. Hope, love, and joy. John says, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. That's what God promises through his word. Have you ever wondered when you went to somebody's house when it was time to leave? Or more appropriately, have you ever had somebody over to your house and try and get them the message that it's time to leave? I heard the best one that I ever heard is, you know, that you'd say, oh, Martha, we better get to bed and let these people get home. That's a good line, isn't it? Well, we better get to bed. I'm sure these people want to go home. There is a custom in the Middle East. There is a point here. There is a custom in the Middle East that anyone that came to your house would receive a filling of a cup with water or wine. Even if you were a stranger, and in the Middle East, strangers were always welcome in a home. If you came to somebody's house, you would offer them a cup of water or wine. And you would drink the cup, and then you'd refill it. They drank the cup, and you'd refill it. As long as the cup kept being refilled, that meant that you were still welcome. But if you drank a cup and they didn't fill it, that's the sign. Time to go home. I like that. There was also a ritual that they did in the Middle East that if you came to somebody's house and the host really liked you, he wanted you to stay a long time, he would symbolically pour your cup and allow it to overflow onto the table, which meant to say, you stay as long as you want. Because I want you here. My cup overflows. What do you see that the shepherd is saying to you through that? God is saying, I'm going to fill your cup to overflowing. It means that you matter to him, that you're special to him. If you're hurting because somebody has hurt you badly, then Jesus invites you to the table. I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of my enemies. I'll anoint your head with oil, and I will make your cup overflowing. He will settle the score. He will soothe your wounds. He will satisfy every one of your needs. It's a deal you can't refuse. It's a banquet of wholeness, help, and salvation. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are the good shepherd. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That you have a desire, Lord, to heal the hurt that many of us hold in our lives. Many of us, Lord, have held on to the hurt, and we have responded in bitterness. And it is eating away at us like a cancer. Lord, if you find any one of us like that this morning, Lord, you minister to us right now. You reach in, and you allow that hurt to be released. Lord, soothe the soul of all of us, Lord. Soothe the soul of especially those who have been wounded and still carry those wounds with them. Soothe their spirit. Lord, in a way that I can't even describe, reach into their hearts right now and remind them how much you love them. And bring their cup to overflowing with hope, with love, with joy. Lord, I'm so thankful as we have lingered with Psalm 23 this summer, what we discover about your grace and your goodness and your love for us in spite of us, and how you walk with us each step of the way. Today, Lord, heal our hurt. May we allow you to settle the score. May we allow you to soothe the pain. May we allow you to be the one that gives us a cup that is overflowing. with richness and fullness and meaning in life. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.